us to the right. Now watch this turn. Indicator left, down the slope. What a shot. What a shot, is it? Oh, would you believe that? Rory McIlroy. What a round of golf. It's one outside the Augusta course record.
Good evening, golf fans. Welcome back to PFD, the Putting for Dough Show. We have arrived at the US Open, the third major of the year. And you will notice that, well, anyone that's watching, you will notice that we're back to being a four ball again. We have managed to basically draw Kurt away from his Twitter endeavours of posting GIFs of milk and amongst other things. We've got him back on the show by popular demand.
Oh, God. That's my biggest schnick now. I'm just trying to ride Madison's coattails completely.
Do you know what? We had to get you back on because it was such good fan feedback. And Jack only stopped talking about you about 3 days ago. So it's like we had to.
What did I do in the last 3 days, Jack? Why do you hate me now?
I'll be better. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back with you guys. My favorite friends across the pond. You know, I'm ready to another major. It's felt like with some of these elevated events, it's felt like we're just kind of just bang, 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 bang. But then you got a major like this. It's just something special, something different. Last week was hurtful to me. I really enjoyed the ending, but I had a Tommy Fleetwood ticket. And I was like, I thought he had it. So it was hurtful. I'm ready to get back to it. Another week. Someone needs to win a Millie that I know. I'm ready for someone I know to win a Millie again. I want to experience it with them or fuck it, maybe even me. Someone in here, possibly? What? Let's get it.
Not so sure it'll be someone in here, but you never know. Do you know what? This past week, on this side of the pond, that was a late one for us. So yeah. I clocked in at just before 1 a.m. maybe. So yep. Hole after hole, it was just like, someone please win this playoff. Good shot follow good shot, bad shot follow bad shot until that putt. And I actually messaged my friend and I said, he was watching it as well. I said, I would probably rather be Fleetwood in this situation. And then he goes and sinks that 70-foot putt to win, and it's just like there's nothing you can really do when that happens. We should probably get that highlight on the start of the show. The show highlight reel. Get that highlight on. I think we'll keep it rolling, keep it refreshed every year with new highlights.
I mean, Tommy had two chances, so he only has himself to blame. He had the two chances after the second, third playoff hole. So it's all on him. You know, he choked the two, like, I think it was like a 10-footer and like a 9-footer. So he pissed his pants. Tommy doesn't want to win. Simple as that. I'll never bet him outright again. He can go fuck himself, to be honest. I still love him as a DFS play. I still think he's great as DFS in 7K range, but he's a coward. He's a coward. I'll say that to his face. I think he's a cool dude. He's a coward, though. That's coming from a guy who can't drive a ball 210 yards. So
that is Kurt's Twitter handle there. Do not come at me on Twitter. I've got enough people doing that for my rural mistakes, so please don't.
Tommy lad, you suck.
Do you know what? Watching it, the 18th, the writing was on the wall, really.
That last keep hitting that 5-line? He kept just hitting the 5-line off the tee. I was like, what are you doing?
To hit like he did off the tee, but then the shot that followed it was just like...
He was scared.
Did he club down again? I think he had 5-wood in hand and he clubbed down and it was like, what are you doing? He just completely went, but there's something to be said for golfers who face that pressure, you know, last hole, to either leading or tied lead. How's your nerves? And the best he could come up with was a par. Not good enough. He'd birdied it every day up to then. Best he could come up with was a par.
Nick Taylor's got a humongous set of balls. Simple as that.
Well,
I think you're all missing the best part of that whole thing was Adam Hadwin getting tackled by the security guard. Like
that in itself might also make the highlight reel next time when we redo
just
that.
Keep it running.
Multiple different angles as well. I think every angle that I've seen gets better. The first angle was the kind of zoomed out one. Everything after that was just like the really close-up one's brilliant. You see a reporter in the background laughing her head off because she realised who's been speared. Superb. Jack, Mark, good weekend, fellas.
Yeah, it was okay. I did what I keep telling everybody to do. My player pool was created out of just literally golfers we named last week on the show. Again, profitable load of six or six out of lineups. Weirdly, this doesn't happen very often in a golf season. My double up lineup, which was a 5-6, didn't actually cash. That's quite hard to do, but I somehow managed that. But yeah, in GPPs, MMEs, just literally note down the golfers we talk about, put them in your pool, just create some lineups. It's profitable every week at the moment.
Good thing I wasn't on here last week because I didn't do shit.
We didn't mention Nick Taylor, I don't think, did we, Jack? So.
No, we didn't mention Nick Taylor. I had a 6-6 cash lineup, and I actually put that in the Pat Mayo contest. It gave me a bit of a sweat down the stretch. I needed Hubbard to win, though, to probably take it down. Unfortunately, I didn't. I finished about 23rd, I think, in the Pat Mayo contest in the end. Still got some nice profit out of it. But double ups were king again for me with the cash. GPP lineup. Right strategy, totally faded the 7K range, got two guys in from that 6K range, but Sam Burns right at the top. I mean, that guy, what a tilt he put me on for the last four holes. 3 under par he was, and then he just started spraying the ball everywhere off the tee, and that was it. Like, he missed the cut, and that just killed my GPP line, unfortunately. It could have been a great week. It really could have, but we're getting closer, and, you know, I still made profit, so I can't complain last week. And I sit down the host league. So, you know, back-to-back champion again there. So,
Are we still talking about this, Nick? I thought we'd given up on this host league thing.
Well, I would if I was you to.
I don't remember it being on the schedule to talk about tonight, Nick.
Clearly, I just need to miss a few more shows again. That's because each time that happens, I seem to kind of pull it back a little bit. And then I attend some shows and Jack pulls away again. And it's a vicious cycle of heartbreak, couple of wins, followed by more heartbreak. For me last week, double ups as well. 5-6 through on DraftKings. So that was enough to get me in the cash. Though I have had weeks like you, Mark, where it didn't. Strangely, only one or two though this year, from what I can remember. 5 or 6 usually good enough. FanDuel, which we've got the first article out today on that, got a 6-6 through, but again, it was only good enough to double money. Which I've found on FanDuel that because of the pricing, we were talking about this earlier, Jack, because of the pricing and how generous it is. With the budget, you to cash, you have to kind of get 6-6 through. Anything less than that, and you might just break even, but likelihood is you're actually going to be out of the cash. And both weeks the last 2 weeks I've entered 6-6 through on the lineup on each week has kind of, it's Like, I've been up there, but I've still been way out contention-wise. But the budget just spreads really far. So it's a different kind of challenge, one that I quite enjoyed writing about earlier. So I will carry on doing that week on week. And you do play it naturally quite different to DraftKings. I did two example lineups on the article earlier, and the difference in the two, both identical lineups on DraftKings and FanDuel, but the difference in the two was $2,400. So it's massive. That's massive. It's the difference in getting a 6.5K golfer in and a 9K golfer. So, but yeah, that was my week. Happy with that. It's given me a nice little amount to play about with this week. And yeah, all aboard Victor Hovland for the US Open.
Must be nice. I had to empty the 401k just to play this week. So must be nice. Everyone winning except for me, guys. What's funny is, like, the past, like, I had one good classic in between there, but usually when I have a bad classic, I always have one spike showdown day where I'll pay for my whole week. I didn't get that last week. So, yeah. Well, you know what? I'd rather be shitty at the RBC Canadian Open, a.k.a. the Royal Bank of Cucks, than have a bad week at the U.S. Open with all the prizes and stuff. Yeah. So, I'm ready to get back at it and join you guys in the winning team.
I was told that they were renaming it the Rory McIlroy Open, to be honest. But yeah.
Choke on Sunday. God, he sucks. Everyone over there, man, like, they can't close for shit. You got, what is it in the water over there? Lowry can't close.
I had a Hatton ticket, and that double killed me. That double killed me, though.
Yeah, that was. But I mean, look what he did. He shot like a 10 under on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
What a stud.
Game. We love Tyrrell.
He shot that whilst basically trying to destroy, was it the 15th tee? Just absolutely smashing the 15th tee up or whatever it was. Wasn't even that bad of a shot what he hit, but there we go. That's Tyrrell Hatton.
Thanks.
Couple of mentions for anyone who hasn't been following the socials. We are now in podcast format. You don't actually have to tune in and watch us, though why would you not? You can actually just listen to us instead. So, yeah, I mean, that'll be good when the Champions League rolls around again. We always get complaints that we clash with the Champions League. No longer. You'll be able to absorb the show the following day on your favourite podcast provider. Jack, I think you've hooked all that up, so... Well,
yeah,
done.
Because I don't give myself enough work to do, Nick. So, yeah, I've decided that. No, people kept asking us for it. So, yeah, I've set it all up. It's available on iTunes and Spotify and all of those good places. Just search PFD Show. The links are on our Twitter handle anyway. So, yeah, just head over there and sign up. Leave us a very nice review if you can, please.
Yeah. Mark? You've got
We do. There's some really good contests for UK players on DraftKings this week. There's the free roll. If you're not in the DK Ashes League, you need to get in there because there's been lots of free rolls recently. Usually $1,000 prize money, $500 to first. I don't think any of us have got close to sniffing a win in any of those contests yet, have we? But they're there and they're free. And then also there's a really interesting contest this week, where you can win a hospitality day at the Open on the Saturday, I think it was. There's lots of details on it. I'll post out, I haven't seen where the link is on Twitter, so I'll post out a link to it either after the show or tomorrow. It's a massive prize, but it's got a massive entry fee as well of $75, which is very exorbitant, but the prizes are pretty amazing. And yeah, check it out.
Nice. Jack, anything else for the listeners before we move on to this week?
Just as usual, like Nick's mentioned, the FanDuel newsletter has come out today and the normal DraftKings newsletter with the course preview, tee times, weather, Mark's cut makers, my core, and the sexy sixers will be out tomorrow for you all.
By the way, Nick's article about FanDuel, the FanDuel stuff today is absolutely brilliant. So check it out. Even I was impressed, and I've known Nick for like months now.
Thanks, Mark.
Check, no, it's good.
Checks
good.
In the post.
Yeah.
Kurt, anything for you, mate? Anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I'm ready to get into it. I'm curious to see who you guys are on. This is my first.
Well, sign up to Run Pure Sports, obviously, Kurt.
I was going to keep that for the end, but we got
You've got a summer promo going over there, haven't you?
Yeah. Summer 33, come sign up. I just now heard of a guy yesterday who shipped a shit ton. I think it was like over 5K. He just signed up last month, or maybe it was 3K on MLB. I've heard so many stories like that. People sign up for 1 month, they give it a try, and they have a big shipper, pays for the rest of the year and some. But yeah, Summer 33, go sign up. All sports, one price. Try all the sport you never played before, stuff like that. I know we got Summer League coming up here in less than 4 weeks. I'll be doing playbook and content for all of that, every single slate. That's always really fun, kind of day sweats, night sweats for you guys. But yeah, come check us out. Summer 33, runpuresports.com.
And it's Run Pure that made Jack an EuroLeague expert, wasn't it? So,
I miss EuroLeague so much. Jack, you got to grind. If you grinded EuroLeague with me, you have to grind Summer League, because Summer League is just.
I'll be with you on that. Don't worry.
Just as much as my baby. Love me some Summer League.
I think I need some of that.
Yeah.
That expertise on other sports or playing other sports on DFS. I think I could have used that on NASCAR at the weekend because
don't talk about NASCAR.
But that was dreadful. Whatever I did at the weekend, I need to not repeat that because
that race was boring as hell.
Yeah. Well, do you know what, Kurt? I didn't watch it because I've always had the same opinion of it. Just going round in a circle is not for me. But I will take any opportunity at winning money. Unfortunately, I did not win. So there we go. Waste.
Who Nick? Who knew they had cars with only three wheels that we kept playing? And thank you.
Yeah, right. I'm not even convinced my car had wheels, Mark. Still in the garage. Yeah. Let's move on then. US Open. We head to sunny Los Angeles, California, Los Angeles Country Club. Jack, no doubt you've got a fantastic course preview that will rival any in the world. So hit us with it.
Cool. Pressure there. I don't know about that. I have a very in-detailed, breakdown in the newsletter tomorrow. But, we do head over to Los Angeles in California to the LA Country Club. This was designed by Herbert Fowler in 1920 and then George Thomas and William Bell in 1928. It had a renovation by Jill Hance in 2006. It's a par 70 at 7,423 yards long. There's no water on this property. But there's plenty of bunkers, and we've already seen some of the players moaning about the bunkers. I think JT came out with a comment earlier saying there's too much sand in them. So I don't think JT's a fan of the bunkers this week, but there's plenty of them, and especially the fairway bunkers, they're going to be very penalising. If you go in them, you're going to be losing a stroke on that hole, definitely. Actually, just another comment on the bunkers. Brooks come out with a comment saying that they're not like normal bunkers. The ball doesn't roll into the centre. Once it goes in, it'll stay near the lip and things like that. So you might see chips backwards to get out and things like that because the ball's right up against the lip. So, yeah, interesting with them this week. The fairways here are Bermuda. The rough is Bermuda as well. It's about 3 to 4 inches thick. You've seen some of the videos for it already. That Bermuda rough is very, very unpredictable. You can get a lot of like flying balls that come out of that. So it's going to be a tough test. It's more thicker around the bunkers itself and a lot around the green sides as well. So that rough is going to be very penal, as often found in US Open courses. The greens here are bent grass. Just a bit of history on this course. It hosted the 2017 Walker Cup here. And that US team actually included Scheffler, Sam Burns, Zalatoris, Morikawa, all involved in that. And then I'm pretty sure I saw something earlier that Homer got a winning college here back in 2013. Obviously, it's a completely different setup to what we're going to see this week, but there are some of the golfers in the field this week have seen this course before. The fairways here are quite wide. They're very much like Augusta. Augusta is a good comp for this place. One of many courses that you could comp it to. There's some big sloping complexes on these fairways, though, as we've seen some of the photos. There's a gully that runs through this course as well called the Barranca. It's a hazard that runs through a lot of the course, and it's been strategically placed on each hole basically to collect any wayward tee shots or second shots into the greens. This course now is baked out. It's in LA. It's very hot. Kurt, tell us. I'm pretty sure that it's very hot over there on the West Coast at the minute. But it's a baked out golf course. So the fairways can be running firm. The greens are going to be running fast. Hole number six itself is a drivable par four, but the tee shot is just is so much dangerous. You're blinded by a hill and oak tree, so you can't even see where the ball's going to go off the tee. Again, Brooks mentioned this earlier about this hole. Hole number 13 features a tricky sloping fairway. I think that's the one that Rick Rungood put up earlier, photo of it. And any miss to the left on that hole will provide a blind second shot into the green. And then a nice hole for the golfers this week. Hole 13 is a record-setting small par 3 at just 78 yards long. So I think we might see a few birdies on that hole this week. So, again, I think the cut will be about 4 over. Winning score is going to be about 7 under, I think, personally, this week. Another tough test, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
This course looks so beautiful, man. I'm so excited for this week.
Yeah, nice. It looks unbelievable. Mark, let's have a look at some of your key course stats this week then.
These aren't in any particular order. Weighted stroke gains approach. Approach. Driving accuracy, fairways gained. Weighted stroke gains around the green. Opportunities gained, greens gained. Par 5s, 550 plus, putting on bent grass and hard courses.
Kurt, what does your model consist of this week?
I've not pinned anything down yet because I feel like no one really knows how this course is going to play yet. So I'm going to wait until I have some more conviction. I guess one tiny little tidbit thing I looked at. It's not something you want to go all in on, but I kind of am curious of who all can avoid the doubles. Me and Jack were talking about it before the show. I don't want guys who are more frequent to get those double bogeys because, like, there's going to be birdies ahead here. It's how those people can handle the holes and just avoid those doubles that will kill you, especially with some of this like the dried out creek and stuff. You can get in some very, very murky situations. So how you can get out of that or how you can just avoid that as a whole is something I'm definitely monitoring. And, like, Fantasy National has the – bogeys avoided. They have very detailed stats. You can go check those out. I kind of like how everyone kind of is like in the unknown area of like who to play and what guys really target. So one like traditional thing you can do is just play the guys who are just automatic with the irons right now. So like you're like Russell Henley, so the guy who's been awesome with the freaking irons, just those type of guys, man.
Yeah,
I've long irons too. Long irons, for sure.
Jack, your model?
Good drive percentage, strokes gained on approach. I've got the proximity buckets, like Kirk mentioned there. The long iron. So I've got proximity from 200 yards out, and then I've also got proximity from 100 to 125. I've got strokes gained around the green, sand saves. I've mentioned these bunkers are going to be tricky this week. Strokes gained putting on bent grass, approach putting, lag putting, whatever you want to call it. It's you see that a lot at Augusta. Again, it's just another comp to Augusta, really. And then I've got putting inside 10 feet. Strokes gained total on hard golf courses, bogey avoidance, and my comp courses I'm looking at are Augusta National, Southern Hills, and Merion, which is I'm listening to a book on Merion Golf Course at the minute about Ben Hogan. So it's quite nice. It's where Justin Rose won his US Open, actually. So
Nice. I'm not going to repeat because a lot of similar stuff, dipping in from everyone's model, really. So let's just start having a look at some of these players because there's a lot to digest here this week. Let's have a look at our elite range first of all, the above 10Ks. So Scheffler comes in at 11,400, most expensive golfer in the field. And rightly so, to be fair. John Rahm, 11,100. Brooks Koepka sees a price hike following his win at the PGA Championship, 10,800. Patrick Cantlay, 10,300. And Victor Hovland rounds out the 10Ks at 10,000. It feels this week like you're gonna have to just kind of hang your hat on your guy. So, Kurt, I'm gonna come to you first. Who is your guy from this range this week?
I feel like we kind of you want to break it down like the top four, really. You can almost kind of put Hovland there, but I'm putting him in the next range. It's Scheffler, Rahm, Koepka, Cantlay, and I am going the most expensive guy, Scottie Scheffler. I think he, I mean, plus 750 or something. It's not a contrarian take, but like up here, I might literally only play Scotty from this range. I think he wins. I'm sorry. There's not much to say. Like everyone knows this. I feel like he's going to win this thing. It's perfect for him. The guy's been putting up historic tee to green stats. It's time to close. He's not been able to take advantage of putting up those stats, but he closes now. What up, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, we said it in previous weeks, but like putting aside what he is doing is
I love the putter change too. Love it.
Yeah, and in fairness, putting wise, when we saw him at the PGA Championship where he was tied second, he did gain strokes putting there. He's lost strokes in his following two events, but when you think like at the Memorial, 8.5 strokes lost with the putter, still finished third. Like if he was just breaking even on his putting strokes, for that matter, he would have so many wins, so many.
He doesn't even have to break even. That's the thing.
No, arguably not, because some of the events where he's like,
if he breaks even, he might win by four strokes.
He might do what Tiger done that year, where Tiger was the only one under par, and he was about 12 strokes clear of everyone else.
Seriously, though.
It is crazy what he's doing, the kind of golf that he's playing across the board. It's just that flat stick, but let's see what happens this week. Jack, I'll come to you next. Who is your pick?
Yeah.
It's Scheffler as well. It's boring. I'm with Kurt. I think he's going to win this. I can't say any more than what Kurt said. He's gaining strokes everywhere except with the flat stick. I agree with Kurt. I like the fact that he's trying to work it out. He's changed the putter this week in the bag. He's trying to sort it out himself. But I mean, he's been in the top 12 since last October at every event. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous run. And like we just mentioned there, if he can just be neutral with a flat stick, he could literally win this by six or seven shots.
Yeah.
Hopefully Mark has a contrarian take for us.
Yeah. is it a trifecta or?
No, you know, I'm going to look at this from a game theory point of view. If the projected ownership figures we're getting are remotely accurate, Brooks Koepka at 10% is just ridiculous.
There is no way. I don't believe that.
No, well, I mean, that's what these stats are saying right now, but who knows? Anyway, even if he's under 15, I think you play Brooks Koepka, personally. If we could fit Scotty and Brooks in a lineup later, that'll be even nicer.
I've been doing that. I made 10 of those today, actually.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I do. You can't ignore Brooks at a major.
Now, he'd be my second option out of these four.
I do like Rahm as well. I have to say he led. No, I always say it, he led the field at Memorial in strokes gained on approach. Again, like Scotty, he's losing strokes with a putter recently, which is a bit unusual for Rahm. He's normally pretty good with a putter. So I think I'm going to lock Scotty in cash and I'm going to play Rahm in GPPs just because we're getting the ownership discount off of Scotty's going to be the highest owned up here by far, easily.
Now, you've been saying four, Kurt. Does Hovland change anything for you if you throw him into the mix? Because I'm big on Hovland this week, but I actually think this is a major too soon. I think Hovland will win the Open this year.
Yeah, I am. there's a lot of tricky lies around this green, and it might not matter if he's on, just keep doing what he's been doing on approach, and he has improved around the green, but this is different. There are a lot of different surfaces and stuff like that around the greens here, and he's going to have to be perfect. I will say he'd probably be tied with Brooks as my second option up here out of the top five, but I'm a little worried that about the around the green stuff. It kind of rears his ugly head. But, yeah, I mean, the guy's just – he's playing so good. He, you know, he's going to put it in the fairway, which is really the first part, and the big greens. So, yeah, he'd be tied with Brooks. But I guess I'm really just saying fuck Rahm and Cantlay is what I'm saying. And I root for Rahm. I think he's cool. Like, I usually play him, but this week I'm just not getting the vibe. I'm going with the other guys. I like them more.
I think the thing with Rahm is he can lose his temper very easily.
Yeah, if he goes in that creek a couple times, he's like, fuck this.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's where I'm at.
Let's have a look at the nines then. So, Rory McIlroy, who surely we're all expecting chalk this week on McIlroy at 9,900. Xander Schauffele at 9,600. Max Homer at 9,400. Colin Morikawa at 9,300. Jordan Spieth at 9,200. Last year's winner, Matt Fitzpatrick at 9-1, back with his sketches, and Cameron Smith at 9K. Mark, come to you first on this one.
Xander Schauffele is my favourite here. Third in my model. Top 10 in a bunch of stats, major stats, etc. He's had, what, four top fives in his last eight, seven top 20s. Yep, I'm a bit... I really hope his ownership comes down a bit, but yeah.
Yeah, though he gets close every, though it's at a different course every year, he just seems to play these US Open courses really well. And I've been following Rick from Rick, the guy who does Rick Run Good, his tweets this week. I think he did a walk round with Xander Schauffele. He said he's like, seems brilliant, really good knowledge of the course. I think he's quite local to the course, so that's obviously why, but yeah, I like that pick. Jack?
That's the same. Xander is my favourite in the range. He ranks number one in my model this week. So, yeah, I like Xander. I think, yeah, obviously, like you both said there, the ownership's going to be, you have to worry about that for GPPs and things, I would have thought. The only thing with Xander is I don't think he can win. That might be a bit of a bold like opinion. No, I've just spouted it out there, but I don't think he can win. But his history at US Opens is ridiculous. Like, I mean, he's been top 20 for the last 5 years. Best finish was third in 2019. He's been playing better recently as well. So yeah, it's going to be hard because I'm locking Scotty in cash. So this range is quite hard for me to get to a lot of these guys. I do think this course sets up very well for Jordan Spieth and Cameron Smith just because of their shot making skills and abilities. But my God, that's going to be a wild ride if you're backing both of them too around here watching that.
I think, like you said with Xander, you feel like he can't win. It feels like we should have had a major already, and some golfers do just go those kind of 15, 20-year stretches sometimes where they don't win a major, and then they have the maiden victory, and that could be the only victory. They might win another two or three after it, but he kind of feels a bit like where we kind of were getting to with Zalatoris, where he was putting himself in contention at like almost every major and then just wasn't getting over the line.
Maybe Kev says Schauffele is his pick.
Maybe he's got a bit of that. Maybe it does feel like he should have won a major. Maybe he's had his chance. Maybe not. Maybe his chance is this week. Kurt, this range.
You're on mute.
Thank you. They're working on the pool outside, so it's kind of loud. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but it's loud with the excavator. I don't know if they're filling it up or something, but I like Morikawa over Xander. I like Xander for cash a lot. Like you said, I think he just rakes off like these top finishes in the U.S. Opens. But Morikawa, I think, can come out and win this thing. Second shot guy, and that's what Morikawa is. The fast greens are going to help him out a lot here. The lag putting is a little concerning, but like I said, he's handled these fast greens better. So Morikawa is the play up here for GPPs and stuff like that. And then I like Cam Smith call, just as a wizard, can shape shots like that. I'm not on the Spieth train yet. I've watched all year. He just doesn't look good to me. I understand the course fit, just kind of creative shots, like, but I don't know. I'm not a Spieth guy this week. And then Max Homa for the Cali narrative and GPPs. I want to see what his ownership is. He's been so bad lately. But just the guy coming home, I'll play that narrative a little bit in GPPs, but really putting an emphasis on Colin Morikawa here.
I've got him about 10% Max Homa at the minute, ownership-wise. So,
see, committing the 20% and 150 is hard for me for Homa. So it might be a guy where I just play 15% and just be 1.5x on, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, knowing this course, knowing what to do when you get in trouble like that, like, that stuff can be beneficial for him. Like, when he hits the creek bed, I'm sure he's hit that creek bed before. So
the problem is with Homa is this is not a typical Cali course, is it? You know, you've not got your your Kakua rough and all that. You've not got any of that. So it's not a typical Cali course. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much you look into it. I don't hate Homa this week. If he comes in lower owned, I do have some interest in myself in GPPs.
I've not heard anyone say like a word about him. I've just heard everyone say, oh, he's playing like shit. They're playing like shit. And the thing for me is all year I was like, oh, I'll play my LACC. I'll play my LAC. I would just hate myself if I didn't and went out and did well. So I'm going to do my due diligence and get about 15%. And hope he gets like seamed down to like 8% and I end up almost having 2x.
No one playing Rory.
God, it's true. Screw Rory, man. What's he coming in at? What's his ownership right now?
I've got him nearly 20%.
That's insane. Everyone I've talked to is not playing Rory, so that's just insane to me. That just shows you how ownerships have been so dog shit this year. So dog shit. So I'm going to say this week, with it being a major, with ownerships already being more spread out, go out and play the guys you want to play. And I understand the game theory thing, but you can't really do game theory when the ownerships have been so ass. They've been horrendous. Maybe you don't play the most steamed up guy in the 7K range, but besides that, play your guys and fuck the ownership game this week because the ownerships have been dog ass.
That might be my favorite thing I've ever heard on this show. You know, dog ass might be the new descriptor.
Dog ass.
For general play, for everything. For certainly for some of our performances. Let's have a look at the 8K range then. Tyrrell Hatton is in unbelievably good form, but hasn't won recently. Finau, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, Shane Lowry, Sung Jae-im, Dustin Johnson, Sam Burns, Jason Day, and Jack's favourite golfer, Cameron Young, a.k.a. Scam Young, as he keeps referring to him as on social media. Now... Again, projections are saying Tyrrell Hatton is going to be by far the most owned golfer in this 8K range. I'm going to come back to you, Kurt, on these 8Ks. A range you're dipping into, a range you're fading. Who do you like here?
I like the range. I think you can get really different GPPs in this. Besides Hatton, you can get this is where GPPs will be won. So I'll give my favorite GPP play with Hatton. Like I just mentioned about eating the chalk. I'm eating the chalk on Hatton. I'm really not playing my usual style this week. I usually play really aggressive, but like I said, ownerships have been so bad, I'm tired of it. I think he had a chance to be probably top three highest owned, but he's playing so well that I don't mind it, especially in single entries. Maybe in GPPs, I'll probably not play Hatton, but in single entry stuff, no care in the world. I will play him. And then my favorite GPP play, I want to get his – I've not looked at ownership yet, so I'm thinking he's still a GPP play. But what's Dustin Johnson coming in at?
12%.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so that's low enough. And I'm guessing what Sungjae's, all these guys are pretty much 10, 12.
Sungjae's 7. He's going low owned, 7% at the minute, according to this.
Man. I mean, Sungjae, he didn't just get bad at golf all of a sudden, guys. Like,
no.
I mean, he's going to find it. You know what? I'm changing it up. Sanjay's with that 7%. Sanjay will probably be my favorite GPP playing this range. And then a lot of guys I'll mix in. I don't have conviction on anyone else yet. So I'll just say Sungjae Im, Dustin Johnson, Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, I'm with you on Hatton. I just can't not play him this week. And the ownership, I'm just not bothered by it. I can't not play him. Every lineup I'm putting in at the moment just seems to have him in it. Jack?
My favourite play is Decky. Sorry?
I like that as well.
Yeah, the recent history at US Opens is very good. He's made the cut the last time, five times he's been here. He was fourth last year at the US Open. Obviously, it was on a different course. I just really like what he's been doing recently. He ranked seventh in my model this week as well, Decky. He's just rounding out to form. He was in contention at Memorial until he had a bit of a blow up on the back nine on the Saturday. He was near the top of the leaderboard there. And what I do like, what I'm seeing now, Decky's gaining strokes putting, and he never gained strokes putting. So that's good to see. He's green across the board everywhere else, gaining strokes on the approach. He's decent off the tee as well. Yeah, I really like Decky. He's a former Masters winner. I'm comping this place to Augusta the most. Especially with the fairway. So, yeah, I think he can get it done around here in this range. And he's coming in at about 12%. I mean, if he stays at that, I'm probably going to play Decky in GPPs.
Like the pick. Feel like he'll go under the radar a little bit this week as well. Mark?
You know he's a copy and paste in my Cupmaker article. And spoiler alert, he's going to be in there for tomorrow. But ranking fifth in my model in this range is Tony Finau.
Ooh, now that's...
Yeah, so I think I'm going to... I don't usually play Tony Finau, to be perfectly honest. Not one of my normal plays, but he's ranking well. And, you know, Jack's always telling us we trust our models.
He's going to be super low-owned, too. I mean, GPPs are going to be won in this range by these guys that are sub-10, man.
Yeah, he's about 12% at the minute. JT's very low owned in this range at the minute, but I think he'll get some steam towards the end of the week. JT,
did you hear that last time JT was this low, he won? I don't know, I think it was WGC or some shit. Last time he was this,
didn't we have that narrative last time? Wasn't that at the PGA? I'm pretty sure if you go back and
he was like
the PGA,
it was
8,900, and we had the same narrative around him there. And then he was god awful at the PGA.
He made the cut though,
he was still awful though. I'm also probably going to go back to Cam Young in this range just because I have a problem.
No,
don't do it again.
Don't.
He's the wrong Young. You know there's only one Young.
I'm not
going to get to him later. But he's the wrong Young.
He sucks. He's not good. He's not good this year.
I just have a problem.
Stop. No, just stop. He should be like 2% owned this week and still fail. I think like... I think this is not a bad year.
I'll come at you when you win. So
I would just be very entertained that we get good Cam Young golf again. It's fun when he's playing well because the way he drives, it's fun to watch when he actually has other shit going. But he doesn't because he sucks. if you take out driving, if you somehow just took driving out of the game of golf, this guy would legit be world number like 100.
I am missing. I'm not going back to Cam Young this week. Don't worry.
Have me scared.
He's the wrong C Young. So as we know,
he is.
The lesser talented C Young on the top.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm going to stay with you because I know what happens when we get to these 7Ks, and I'm going to come to you first, and then I'm going to have Kurt's 7Ks, and then Jack's going to tell me all the other ones that you've not mentioned. So, me yours first.
I don't think it's a real shocker. I'm going with Justin Rose, second in my model. Been doing, I think, let me just check something quickly on that. Where is he? Where is he? I can't find
him. He's
pretty good. Majors record so far this year. yeah, he just ranks. He's not really doing anything particularly great. Just ranks well overall, I think.
Yeah. Justin Rose, who has been playing golf for what feels like 40 years and in majors for that whole time as well.
I think I know where Kurt's going here, and I think it's going to be a 7,100 range. The guy.
I need to see who's there. Is he Asian?
No, he's not. He's from Europe, actually.
Ryan Fox?
No, you always play this guy.
7,100?
Yeah, you always play this guy.
Who is it?
Straka.
Oh, he's seven. Oh, I thought he was 7K flat. But yeah.
No.
He's from England?
He's from Austria.
Is that, I don't know. I don't know. It's from Europe. Europe, okay. Yeah, driving. I don't know what the stats say, but whenever I play him on a course where you just want to be in the fairway, I want to see what he is. In my head, he's an accurate driver, but I'm pretty sure statistically he shows he's the ass. But I like Straka at these elevated events too. I'm not on this week, because I like the other range more. So this will be the first week I've not played him in a while, one of these elevated, but he did me well last time I played him. Is it my turn to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the elephant in the room here is 7,500. I know Raza tweeted about it. Fowler, Clark, Scott, Reed. I would say definitely don't play two of these guys in the lineup and really find one of the four. You can avoid the range altogether in GPPs, but single entry and cat, single entry stuff, I would pick one of these guys you really like and go more overweight on. Mine's Wyndham Clark. I think he's playing at an elite level. His driving's awesome. What are the ownerships on all four of these guys? Can you go ahead and tell them? I know I've talked about shit about ownership. Yeah. But I'm curious to see what it's at.
All right. So you got Scott at 17, P. Reed at 12, Fowler at 21, Windy C at 15, nearly.
Yeah. Okay. It's not that bad. So, yeah, I'll play Windy C. I don't think he's not getting steamed up that much either. I feel like they're always kind of going to eat in each other and they'll all be like 15 to 20, which is fine. Just don't play more than two in one lineup, obviously. So, if I was to rank this range in particular, I'm actually ranking Scott last. I'm going to go Windy C, Patrick Reed. I have a Patrick Reed problem, though. I'm a Patrick Reed slut. And then Ricky Fowler, and then Scott would be last for me. And then as far as the high 7K goes, I don't want to give out too much. Obviously, I'm going to play Bryson. I don't really play Rose, but he's been playing awesome. And I'm going to wait till you all talk, and then I'm going to talk the low 7Ks, because that's like a different world, I feel like. You know, like anything below 7.5 is like a whole different world, because everyone's so fixated on the high 7K range. So I want to hear what you guys have to say about the top 7Ks.
Jack, go on then.
Mark's already mentioned my favorite guy is Justin Rose, but I'm just going to lock Justin Rose in cash. I had a ticket on Rose as well last week, him and Hatton. Again, he made a double on the same hole that Hatton made, and it just blew up after. He just made par every other hole after that, unfortunately, but his recent form is just brilliant. I mention it every week. I really like what Justin Rose is doing with his schedule this year. He's spacing it out, whereas a lot of these other guys are just playing every elevated event, whereas Justin Rose just... he's just turning up where he wants to at the minute, and I really like it. He's getting a nice rest in. He's got fabulous US Open course history. He's obviously a US Open winner at Merion back in the day. Recent finishes, the best one was in 2019. He was third. He's just green across the board, and he ranks eighth in my model this week. So, yeah, Justin Rose is my favourite guy up there. All the guys Kurt mentioned there, I love them all. Scott, but a lot of these guys are probably just going to lock them in cash. Scott hasn't missed a cut since the PGA Championship last year. It's that ridiculous run that he's on.
Until this week.
Yeah. To be fair, I've heard the narrative around this course saying that it should suit Australians as well. Just
yeah, because of the weird. Yeah. I can see it. Kind of like the desert stuff too. I could see that. That's a good narrative.
Yeah, so I've heard that. So I do like Adam Scott. He's probably my favourite in that 7.5 range. I like Patrick Reed, like Kurt mentioned there. I like Ricky Fowler. I'm probably going to be off Wyndham Clark, actually. I think he's got that win this year. I know he got 12th at Memorial.
A lot of people are coming low on him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to avoid him. That's kind of it from the top, really. I like Seawheel as well for cash at 7.3. Do you want to drop down to the low sevens quickly, Nick? And
go on.
Sorry?
Go on. Yeah.
I think me and Kurt are going to have the same guy as our favorite one here is Russell Henley.
I like Russell Henley a lot. But did Mark give his 7Ks?
Yeah. No, I talked about Justin Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You
by the way, the ownership, the reason you've got like the Scott Reed, Fowler, Clark are getting so much ownership is because when you build your lineups, you're almost always ending up with your last one being 7.5 left at the moment. You'll see that when we start building lineups later. It's just where you end up, especially if you start with a Scotty or something.
So there's such good pivots that like, and then Sweet Blues in the chat said, Mito and Neiman, I'm going to have an uncomfortable amount of Mito and Neiman this week. Like, scary amount. Like, if they miss the cut, I'm punching myself in the face. Like, if both miss the cut, I'm going to be so pissed. I maxed the jukebox today and just did Mito and Scotty every single lineup. Like, I care more about, like, some of the higher dollar stuff I entered, but I was bored at the gym, so I just maxed the juke and every single lineup, Scotty and Mito, 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 Scotty and Mito. So I love Mito. And then, but let's talk about the pivots above the 7.5 range. You got Thigala there. It's
you can get
a little crazy. Like I said, Neiman's right there too. But then below 7Ks, Henley, just the guy's actually starting to putt now. I don't really care about that. I just like want the approach shot. Like, these greens are so fast. And these guys that are putting bad, I just think that kind of gets talked about a little too much. And then I like Chris Kirk a lot more than other people are as like a guy I'll be 2X on. Tom Hoagie, trouble reasons to like Tom Hoagie. No ownership, plays good in these elevated events. He's gaining like almost a full stroke in the majors and stuff. So he's a big game hunter. Doesn't seem like it. And then he's a second shot god. So make the cut for us. Maybe backdoor like a top 30 or something like that. And that's my 7K love. See, I love the Siwoo call. The broomstick is alive. Long iron guy. Boom, bada bing. Siwoo. That's kind of my 7K range take.
I love Denny McCarthy as well. Actually, it's 7-2.
What's he coming in at? I've heard some people talk about him.
He's getting steam at the minute. He's up to 11% down there. But
I'm not playing his ass.
I think I'd just play him in cash. But I do like Denny McCarthy for cash.
I think his biggest skill set kind of gets he. First of all, he's a terrible approach player. What is his approach, Denny? Yeah. This guy stinks. He can't hit a long iron for dick. I hit a long iron better. Bro, it's almost dead last. You know what? Everyone played Denny this week. If that ownership gets to 15%, I'll rub one out to it. If he gets to 15%, I'll rub one out at 8 o'clock in the morning. To Denny. This guy's not making the cut. Denny McCarthy is missing this cut.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
I don't want to pay him in cash, but I will not be. I think you missed the cut. Okay, guy.
Oh, you've sent me. Mark, go on.
All the people, I like Denny McCarthy as well, weirdly enough. His ownership.
What do you all like?
I like Russell Henley as well. They both do really well in my model, so, yep.
What's standing out about Denny for you all? Like, what's the, like, the... Is there a stat or just how he's been? Was it recent form?
I'm not on Denny at all. He wasn't.
I might be missing something. I'm not trying to be an asshole.
I think he always just puts himself.
Oh, I guess what it. Yeah. Go on. What were you about to say, Nick?
I was just gonna say, like, he always puts himself. He's never green across the board, but he always puts himself there because he's so consistent with his putter.
Yeah,
but I'm just not there on him this week at all.
I think also U.S. Opens, or maybe it's been majors recently, he's been good at. And also, he is up there and bogeys avoided. But
he was top five last year at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so the guy's good at majors and stuff, but I just think it's going to be a really more a second-shot course than any – because the thing is, most of these U.S. Opens, you're trying to save a bar. That's not the case this U.S. Open. You can go out and get some fucking birdies on these holes. And sometimes, like I said, it's just different. And I don't think he can go out and give me those birdies on the holes that I really need birdies on because his approach is, like, he's not a good long iron player. One thing I will play devil's advocate against myself is he's very good at avoiding doubles. I'm pretty sure he's like top 20 in avoiding double bogeys. But I want a guy who can really attack these birdie holes that he can, because the bogeys are going to come. And that's why I'm opting in this week. Most fun part of the show. Six Ks.
Well, before we do get the 6Ks, there's one name that hasn't been mentioned here, and I put him in my FanDuel article. And I'm going to throw him out there. And I just want to know what you all think on Gary Woodland.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's such a good long iron player. He can be brilliant off the tee. He's putting, granted, not great. But in terms of his approach, I mean, you can, if this is a second shot course, which is what everyone is saying, you've referenced it a couple of times there, Kurt, you cannot ignore Gary Woodland, I don't think, this week, especially at ownership.
Head to head, Jack takes Denny, you take Woodland. What's the bet?
I'll take that.
I mean, they're
saying, all right, I'll take it. Yeah,
do a little lunch bet or something. I love that. I love Woodland over McCarthy, but I'm making it Nick's bet instead.
Let's do it. I'll take you on as well, Kurt, if you want. It's fine.
I'll do Chipotle bet on that. Yeah. So, do you all want to do DraftKings points or just finish higher? Let's do DraftKings points.
Yeah. Okay.
That's even better for Woodland.
I'm confident. I'm very confident because I'm very confident that Gary Woodland will potentially get a double digit number on one of these holes this week.
He's going to have more birdies, though.
Maybe. We'll see.
Chipotle on me, if not. I didn't mention Minwoo. I keep considering him as like a high 6K guy, but he is 7K. Minwoo, just a guy who can really shot shape, might come into play here for deep GPPs. If you're 150, I think he's going to be super low owned. The guy's talented. I'm a little scared off the tee, but I think the wide fairway, what I've seen from the wider fairways, kind of has me interested in what Minwoo can do on some of the holes that are very gettable with his shot.
He has that driving iron in the bag, doesn't he, as well? So playing a lot of them stinger shots. I like Minwoo, but the only problem is he's stuck behind Cantlay.
Stuck behind what?
Cantlay, Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, he is. What the damn.
Him and Justin Sir. Unfortunate for them.
I don't like Sir at all this week. I'm off.
No.
All right, but anyways, yeah, we can go to 6K now.
Yeah, 6Ks. Let's have some of the – we won't go through all the 6Ks, but just shout me out any names that you like. I'm just going to open the floor up at this stage.
Adam Hadwin fought for me last week in GPPs. Gaining strokes on the approach recently, which I'd like to see. He was three over, actually, after the first day at the Canadian Open. He really fought back on the Friday. As I say, he made the cut. Decent history recently at the US Opens as well. He's made the cut the last three times. He was seventh last year at the US Open. 12th last week with that fight back at the Canadian Open. He's had some good finishes in majors as well this year. He was top 20, I believe, at the Players' Championship as well. So he's playing well on some tough courses this week. I like what Hadwin does with the irons as well. So, yeah, he's someone up here I like it at right at the top.
What a week that would be if he was to come in and win her, from being speared at the Canadian Open on the final green to winning a US Open. Just imagine the headlines.
I'm on my boy Kurt Kitayama here. Good long iron player, 6,800, has played these big boy events well. Give me Kurt Kitayama. Meow. Meow. Who else I got? I mean, I feel like the obvious, like Moronk, is he broken right now, or can he do something at 67K?
No, he missed a cut last week, didn't he? He was awful.
He's missed the last couple, I think, on tour. Is that right?
What price is he?
67.
He missed the cut last time out, and he was fifth the week before. But that must have been on the.
That was on the DP.
Yeah, it was on the DP World Tour. He was 40th the week before that.
Yes, yeah, so I'll play Moronk here.
Yeah, he's long off the tee, isn't he? He's a bomber off the tee. So.
I'm trying to restrain myself from putting Munoz in the pool. He's bad on live.
First round lead.
Yeah,
I've got a guy you can play, which nobody else is going to play here. Yuto Katsuragawa.
Who?
Who is, like, obviously one of my favourite golfers.
Yo, who is
he? He could be this week's Peter Quest or Kust or however it's pronounced. He's 6.5, so a bit expensive for his talent level. But, yeah, possibly worth a punt, as is Gordon Sargent as well. That's 6-1.
Is that an English guy, Sargent?
Yep, Gordon Sargent, 6-1.
Why about? I feel like I played him before. What's he good at? Is he off the tee?
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the chalk down here. What's their ownership on Bennett and Stevens?
He's going to be popular, Sam Bennett. He was in my 66ers last week, actually. Made the cut last week.
Sam Stevens is popular as well.
What price is Bennett? I've got him. He's coming at 2% at the minute. So he's got very good history on the PGA Tour, though. He's made the cut on every appearance. He made the cut at the US Open last year, finished 49th. He was top 20 at the Masters this year, which is good to see. I quite like Sam Bennett again, Dan. He will probably be back in the sexy sixers this week, Sam Bennett.
What about Sam Stevens? Great long iron player.
What price is he?
66. He's eighth in 175 to 200 with the long irons.
He's been making cuts as well.
I'm playing. So down here, a lot of my lineups are going to have, a lot of my GPP lineups are going to have Dylan Wu, Sam Stevens, or Sam Bennett. I just need one of them to make the cut, bro. Just one of them. I'm going to have a lot of the same variation of lineups with one of these three in each. Just one make the cut and one back to like a top 45, maybe. That's all I need.
I'm glad you mentioned Dylan Wu. Yeah, I've been on Dylan Wu all year.
He's legit good. That kid is talented. That's the thing. Yeah. My outlook on these three guys is I never really got to play when they said Rom was like 6K forever ago. Like, I never got any of these guys. So I'm trying to make that these my guys where we look back. I'm like, wow, like Sam Bennett or Sam Stevens, or I think personally it'll be Dylan Wu. I think that kid's really good. Like, Dylan Wu was only 6K. What the hell? But I know Morikawa was like that too at a couple of events. So a lot of these guys that are kind of young, they're just breaking out. And this is kind of where you do it. Maybe not, obviously you don't win it, but you get like top 40, something like that. You just stay competitive over the weekend. So really just need one of those guys to make the freaking cut for me.
Let's start building some lineups then, fellas.
Should we do the Scheffler Koepka one start? See what we can do.
Let's have a look. Scheffler Koepka right down straight away.
Yeah, sticking Wu in. Sticking Dylan Wu in one. Yeah, that'll give us.
And you too.
You to what, Nabi?
You too. Oh, Katsuragawa.
I can't play that guy.
No. You can't say him. That's why you can't play him.
Russell Henley?
Yeah, stick in Russell Henley.
You're going to have to put in a Hadwin or somebody as well, though, aren't you, really?
Yeah,
stick in Hadwin.
Russell Henley, Adam Hadwin.
We haven't talked about the real C Young, though, have we, Carson Young?
How much is he?
No, I like him.
Oh, put Mito in there. Yeah. Mito has one upside.
What the hell are DraftKings doing this pricing this week? Alex Noren, 7,400.
Mito, Hadwin, Henley, Dylan Wu, Koepka, Scotty.
Nice. Should we try and do one? Get a load of them 8K guys and just fade the 7K range completely.
The only issue with that is playing two 6K guys, you're just killing any win equity. Like, you need Scotty, Koepka, and then in our case, it would be – that's the thing. Like, you need Scotty – you need one more other guy that has true top five upside. And, I mean, Henley had when Mito probably does, honest to God.
Yeah, he does.
Let's start one off with Hatton.
Hatton and Decky.
Go on then.
Oh wait, this is a whole other one. I gotta build this last one. Whoops. I thought you were trying to get an AK guy into our Scotty lineup. Is that what you're trying to do?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was confused.
We usually build a few different style of lineups, like, you know, different pricing, roster constructions.
We're going to build this one we just did.
I want to go back down into that 6K range now, sticking Kitty Armor at 6'8". Meow. And then that gets you up to 8'5".
You could get a Sungjae in there. I know Jack doesn't really like playing Sungjae, but
he's just a plodder. He's just not going to win. So
you can put him in 8'6". So you can
add all Asian lineup almost.
Yep.
Where's Tom Kim? 7'8".
Oh God, he's broke.
Yeah, don't stick Tom Kim. Cam Young.
Morikawa. Oh wait, we're doing a mid range, aren't we?
Yeah, we don't want to end up in that 7'5" range, do we? I mean, you could come back down again. What happens if you get one of these low 7K guys in? Maybe Mito, because we think he's got win upside.
What about Siwoo?
Yeah, or Siwoo.
And then Morikawa.
Oh, wow. It takes you up to 10.
Oh, yeah, it does. Damn. Whoa, you can play Vic. You can play Vic there.
Yeah, I'd play Vic.
Where's Xander? Xander's slight Asian. Yeah, this is Xander. He's kind of Asian. Tyrell Hatton with a bunch of Asians.
I don't hate either of those lineups. I think they work. So yeah, I wouldn't play Rory in that.
I'm doing the all Asian one. This is hilarious.
Pretty balanced, I guess that.
I think I done an all Asian lineup, all Korean lineup at the Sony earlier in the year, and it absolutely failed miserably.
What, the Sony? That's really. But that's where Siwoo won, right? No, he won
hard. Yeah, but I had Siwoo, but I also had like KH Lee, Tom Kim, who missed the cut.
Tom is just...
Let's see where we end up with a Scheffler, Schauffele lineup. So we're freeing up a little bit here from Koepka. If I come down,
make a Sam Bennett lineup.
Yeah, you can stick Sam Bennett in, can you?
6'5". So we're up at that 7'5" kind of range.
And then maybe I guess
play three of them. Yeah, yeah. Scott Reed and Fowler. Yeah.
Seriously, I bet no one does that. Justin Rose.
Yeah, that's a good shout, Justin Rose.
Dustin Johnson. Oh, God, never can do that. Oops.
It could be done, but we'd have to...
Yeah, I don't like taking 2 6K guys. I feel like that's...
I'm going to do it this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Low sevens.
Woodland. Your boy Woodland.
Only back him, but it only...
What about your boy Woodland? And then Bryson. You like Woodland?
Yeah, could do that.
Because we already have Henley in one.
Bryson and
Wood Gary. Gary. Look at that. Yeah. It's not terrible. It's not the worst.
Alternatively, if you did want to throw in Henley, it gets you up to Neiman in that lineup.
Ooh, yeah. That's strong. That's very strong, actually. Damn.
And I think that wraps us up, fellas.
What a time.
An hour and 8 minutes in. Love that. Lots of golfers mentioned there. So if you're listening back to this show or you're watching it back tomorrow, try and decipher who you're going to put in your lineups, because I reckon we've mentioned about 70% of the guys that are in the field.
We all gave reasons, though. And you can decipher off those reasons.
Absolutely. It comes down to who you trust now.
Denny McCarthy.
Bring it.
Kurt, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on again. Where can the listeners find you?
RunPureSports.com, guys. Some promo code SUMMER33, 33% off your first month. I'm in the Discord over there talking about every sport. Kind of a slow time until Summer League starts, but then we got all kinds of late July. We got all kinds of stuff coming. But All Sports One Price, go sign up over there. Hit me up on Twitter at Curtain Call. I post funny GIFs talking about titties and stuff like that. I have no filter. Follow my burner account, White Lightning. So I try to follow almost everyone back. If I don't, I just missed you and didn't pay attention. So, yeah, come follow the boy. Appreciate you guys having me back on. Always a pleasure.
No, it's been a blast. It's been great. Jack, Mark, where can the listeners find you?
On the Twitter. Come and have a couple of arguments with me if you like. At Jack Humphrey DFS. Apparently, I'm a Liv sympathizer and I hate Rory McIlroy. So, yeah, just come on over. The newsletter will be out tomorrow as well.
I need to be in control of your guys' Twitter accounts, the way you keep arguing with people. But there you go. We're trying to build a brand here, lads. find me at _SMRF. Not too many arguments going on there.
I'll start some this week.
And you'll find me at Nick of Wigan. The newsletter is out tomorrow. Enjoy the US Open. It is going to be a good one. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday.